Online banking or internet banking is an electronic payment system. You have been doing it day in and day out. But you know that it is an electronic payment system that enables customers of a bank to conduct all financial transactions through their website. You have a Wi-Fi, you have a data service in your mobile phone, and through that particular website, you can perform all these transactions. These are all electronic transactions. And this system will, of course, be a part of the core banking system as a whole. Here, AI blockchain technology has gone into the core banking system. And this is in contrast to the traditional bank branch banking, by which customers accessed banking services by going and visiting the branches. It's totally in contrast to that. Some banks operate as a direct bank or virtual bank only, where they rely completely on internet banking system. There are, you know, virtual branches created by certain banks at a certain points, where those who do not have a virtual system or instrument with them can visit that virtual branch of the bank, of the bank which has been created at a point, and get access to any branch of that particular branch, of that particular bank. They can access any branch through the virtual access system created by the bank. To access, of course, some banks also operate as a direct bank or virtual bank. Now, I would say today, all banks are on virtual banking system. And to access the financial institution's online banking facility, a customer with internet access will need to first of all register with the institution, bank or any other institution, for the services that you want to operate. You have got to first of all register yourself, of course, using your mobile phone, smartphone, or your computer system. Set up a password and comply with other credentials for customer verification. These are all initial data entries created in the banking system as far as any consumer of banking services is concerned. Initially, this has got to be set up to allow you to operate in a digital banking mode. Yes, if you look at digital banking, financial institutions now routinely allocated customers' number. Each customer, bank's customer, has got a different number. These numbers are not normally the same as account number. Why? Because a number of customers' accounts can be linked to the one customer number. You may be having three or four different accounts in the bank. Your saving bank account, your joint account, your business account, your cash credit account, your loan account. These are all different account numbers. And these are all connected with one number. That is your customer number. And that becomes the data which is first generated if you operate, do any transaction through the digital banking service. You are first accessed by that customer's number which has been allocated. The customer's number can be linked to any account that the customer controls, though it may limit the range of accounts that may be accessed to, say, by check, saving, loan, credit card, and similar accounts. Financial institutions can determine the type of financial transactions any customer may transact through their online banking. Maybe if they want, they can limit this type of transaction and ask you to operate certain transactions physically also, but I don't think any bank would be doing it nowadays. This may include obtaining account balances, list of recent transactions, electronic bill payments, financial loans, and funds transfers between a customer's or another customer's account. These have all gone into the digital banking method today. All these functions can be performed by you using your instrument sitting at any place where you want and perform any of these functions. A bank customer can perform non-transactional tasks also through online banking, which includes no transaction, but other functions also you can perform, like viewing your account balance, viewing any recent transactions, downloading bank statements, for example, in PDF format, no document per format, but download a particular bank statement. You want to give it to your auditor for the taxation purposes. Download in PDF format and send it to your accountant. Viewing images of paid checks. You can view the images of the checks which have been paid. Ordering checkbooks. Yes, online you can order the checkbook. Download periodic account statements. Download applications for m-banking, e-banking, etc. And then a financial institution also can perform their administrative functions by using this digital banking system. Management of multiple users having varying levels of authority, different types of authorities like income tax, Reserve Bank of India, Exchange Control Department, or the money laundering authorities, they can all manage to access whatever information they want by this digital banking system. And of course, it's having a transaction approval system. Transactions have got to be approved, but no, they are not being approved physically, they are approved digitally. Yes, working on these situations requires a high level of security. Security of a customer's financial information is very, very, very important, without which online banking could not operate. They can never operate without the embedded security system. Financial institutions have set up a security process to reduce the risk of unauthorized online access to a customer's records. If this security system was not in place, then any Tom, Dick, and Harry can access any account if they just come to know the account number. No, it cannot be done because of this security system. And these are two different security methods for online banking. The PIN or TAN system, where PIN is used for login and TAN is a one-time password to authenticate the transaction. And second is the signature-based online banking, where transactions are signed and encrypted digitally, either the DocuSign method or digital signature certificate. You obtain DSCs you can sign digitally. The keys for the signature generation and encryption can be stored on a smart card or any monetary medium, depending on the concrete implementation required to be done. Looking to the vast movement of cryptocurrencies and virtual currencies and digital currencies, etc., the banks are now trying to come out in place of the fiat money, that is paper money or coins. In place of that, there is a central bank digital currency being developed by the central banks, like Reserve Bank. Reserve Bank of India is the central bank in India. Yes, Reserve Bank is also developing a central bank digital currency. It is totally different from the fiat coins and notes that are in circulation today. Let us try to understand, what is this CBDC? Central bank digital currency or digital fiat currency or digital base money is the digital form of fiat money, which is a currency established as money by government regulation or law. Cryptocurrency, on the other hand, is not established by law, but as a counter to those cryptocurrencies, the central banks are creating their own CBDCs. It is a high security digital instrument, just like a paper banknote. Paper banknote is an instrument, and it is, of course, a means of payment, a unit of accounting, and a store of value. The CBDC has got value stored into it. Digital fiat currency is part of the base money supply, together with other forms of the currency. Other forms of currency, of course, notes and coins, etc. It is also a digital bearer instrument that can be stored, transferred, and transmitted by all kinds of digital payment systems and services. Validity of the digital fiat currency is independent of the digital payment system storing and transferring the digital fiat currency. Storing and transferring your fiat paper money or coins is totally different from the CBDC transactions. Yes, it would be having a value. It would be a fiat currency backed by the government. Let's look at some of the advantages of the CBDC. One, it is safety of payment systems. A secure and standard digital payment instrument issued and governed by a central bank and used as the national digital payment instruments will boost confidence in privately controlled money system. And protection of money as a public utility by digital currencies issued by central banks will provide a modern alternative to physical cash, whose abolition is currently being envisaged. You know, if you look at a 10 rupee coin which you are using in your hands today to pay on cash transaction basis, cost of producing that coin is more than 10 rupees, though it has got a value of only 10 rupees. But cost of producing it is more than that. And that is why it is very expensive to the government to create this kind of physical fiat money in rupee format and also in coin format. And that is where the cost benefit will be generated by this CBDC. Preservation of seigniorage's income. A public digital currency issuance would avoid a predictable reduction of income for governments in the event of a disparition of physical cash. It will remove the, you know, demonetization of the cash which took place. It will not be required now by CBDC. Why? Because it's a virtual transaction as it is. And of course, it has got a financial inclusion. How? Safe money accounts at the central banks could constitute a strong instrument of financial inclusion. These are the advantages of the CBDC. You have got a technology efficiency. Instead of relying on intermediates such as banks and clearing houses, money transfers and payments could be made in real time directly from payer to the payee. That is what you are seeing even today. Virtual transaction, digital transactions, without having to go to the respective bank, it is being done. But end to end, at the background level, yes, the banks are still in existence. Why? Because authorization ultimately comes from the bank. But when we go to CBDC, that authorization may not be required. And then now it will be giving banking competition also. The provision of free bank accounts at the central bank offering complete safety of money deposits. This could strengthen competition between banks to attract bank deposits. For example, by offering once again remunerated sight deposits, maybe you may be getting more remunerated fixed deposits, etc., etc. Monetary policy transmission. The issuance of this kind of central bank-based money through transfers to the public, this could constitute a new channel for monetary policy transmission, which could allow more direct control of the money supply. Today, fiat money, you know, people are using it for corruption purposes, storing large quantum in cash if they want to hide transactions from the government so that they don't pay the requisite taxes, etc. That will be eliminated over here. Let us look at the credit and debit cards which we have been using over a long period of time. I don't think I need describe to you what a credit card and debit card is. But in a nutshell, contactless payment systems are credit cards and debit cards or any other similar devices, including smartphones and other mobile devices. They use near field communication or RFID, that is radio frequency identification, for making secure payments. This is used for making secure payment transactions. The embedded chip and antenna enable the consumers to wave their card FOB on hand basis or handheld devices over a reader at the point of sale terminus. At the sale terminus, there will always be a reader through a near field communication system or a radio frequency system, And only when you bring your chip near that, it will be authenticated and transaction can take place. Contactless payments are made in close physical proximity, unlike mobile payments, which use broad area cellular or Wi-Fi network and do not involve close physical proximity. Look at the difference between the two. Your debit card and credit card, you have got to swipe it at a particular point of sale when you are purchasing. But as far, because there is a near field communication in that particular area or radio frequency available within that area, which catches the signal from the debit card or credit card. But as far as your mobile application is concerned, you are using the internet or Wi-Fi. You all have Wi-Fi over here. That is not a near field communication system, but a cellular inter-area communication system, which transfers the communication of the transaction. These are different formats of working. Now, when you look at your mobile phone communication, the telecom operators are getting involved more and more in this type of contactless payment by use of near-field communication processes. Therefore, your mobile phone can be activated distantly also and as a near-field communication in place of the credit debit card also. It has got a double function. Operators are building the functions into your mobile phone. Depending on the economic space, there may be a payment limit on single transactions without the need to input the PIN number. PIN numbers would be required in case of a certain larger amount. And those limits are built into the system, built into the instrument itself. Some contactless cards can only be used a certain number of times before customers are asked for their PIN. Maybe you may be asked for a PIN and number for every transactions if they are larger transactions. But for small transactions, maybe once in a while for a number of transactions, after a number of transactions, you may be asked for a PIN. And contactless debit and credit card transactions use the same chip and PIN network as the older cards and are protected by the same fraud guarantees. Where a PIN is supported, the contactless part of the card may remain non-functional until a standard chip and PIN transaction has been executed. That is, a PIN generated for the initial transaction, which is checked. This provides some verification that the card was delivered to the actual card holder. So the first transaction is always a transaction which verifies, the system verifies it. When you look at the mobile payments, you are all performing the mobile payments. Yes. What is it? It refers to payment services operated under financial regulation and performed from or via a mobile device. Of course, in developed or developing countries, mobile payment solutions have been deployed as a means of extending financial services. That is where in our country also we have gotten. Mobile payments are becoming a key instrument for all person-to-person, PSP and other market participations in order to achieve new growth opportunities. You have new technology solutions which provide a direct improvement to the operation efficiency, ultimately resulting in cost saving and in increase in business volume. These are all the benefits that you are getting on a day-to-day basis. When we look at the mobile payments, there are five primary models for mobile payments, and all other systems are a version of one of these five systems. These are the primary models. Number one, mobile wallets. Number two, card-based payments, that is credit card and debit card. Number three, carrier billing, that is premium SMS or direct carrier billing through SMS, etc. And today, of course, GPS-based GPay system is also added into this particular system. Contactless payment of near-field communication, where you are near a particular field, you can operate without the physical contact. The field will catch the signal. Then direct transfers between payer and payee bank accounts in near real time. That is the bank-led model, intra or interbank transfers, payments that are both bank and mobile operator agnostics. There can be, of course, a combination between these models. A direct carrier or bank operation, which is emerging in Haiti now, both bank account and card, like Vips and Mobile Pay. The GPay is a combination of two of more of these particular models. Thank you.